Good to be here tonight. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Let's thank Him for His blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles tonight, we want to turn to John chapter 14. Continuing in Outside of the Box series. But tonight we're going to be doing Outside of the Box Spirit-infilling. Spirit-infilling. John 14. Excuse me. Read 15 through 26. Amen. Verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Pretty simple, isn't it? Amen. It's hard for us to do, though. Sounds simple, but it's hard, isn't it? "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Amen. You can be seated. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, it's the same thing. When you read in verse 16, the Comforter is called the Spirit of Truth. And when you read in verse 26, it says he is called the Holy Ghost. So in today's religious world, there appears to be many roads to God. Depending on who you ask, there are all kinds of ways to find God. And even among the Christian believers in the world today, there are multiple views regarding salvation, regarding right living, and what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Many people believe that because they are a believer in Jesus Christ, that they are indeed already filled with the Holy Ghost just because they believe in God. That somehow, by simply accepting the Lord as their personal Savior, they are inducted into the ranks of the Spirit-filled. So to be Spirit-filled in today's Christianity, it's kind of the norm. Everybody, you know, says, I believe in God, and therefore I have the Holy Spirit. But it means, in simple language, to be a believer. So being Spirit-filled is common lingo. Just when you listen to the different people talking about it, and you know, no matter what, if they're apostolic or not, everybody I'm spirit filled. Many people will say that they are spirit filled, but when asked what that means, or how they know that they are spirit filled, they too often don't have an explanation. You ever run into that? Now I want to talk about outside the box spirit and filling. You see, the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, as it were, was never meant to be in a box. Faithlessness among believers and preachers who do not understand the scriptures has produced a spirit infilling that is not scriptural. So There is a Holy Spirit infilling that is talked about in the scriptures that many teachers of the word seldom talk about. And what I'm talking about is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that took place in the book of Acts, the second chapter, and throughout the book of Acts. Understand something, folks. There is a Holy Spirit infilling talked about in the scriptures. It's there. But it is not the cheap, easy believism spirit infilling that is assumed by so many of the church world today. So when you read Acts chapter 2, you find out very quickly that there was an outward sign that these people had indeed received the Holy Spirit. It was outward. It was noticeable. That sign was the seldom talked about miracle of speaking in other tongues. The church world don't want that. They seldom talk about it. You know, you hear this, that's of the devil kind of stuff. And I like to say, well, it says it came out of heaven. So that doesn't mean, that tells me it's not of the devil. But the church world, that's what they use. So, you know, all it is you, once you believe, you have the Spirit. But it's there in the book of Acts. The reason that it is seldom talked about is because the devil himself knows that when a believer speaks in tongues, it is the evidence that that person has indeed received the Holy Ghost. When you read about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 47, says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Now, there's a reason why you read that in there. And that is one of my favorite things when you talk about the Holy Ghost. This is one of my favorite scriptures to go to. Those of the circumcision, that's the Jews who went down with Peter to see Cornelius, they were astonished. Now you say, well, why were they astonished, Pastor? Well, for one, Peter didn't want to go to Cornelius' house. God said, you go. He took people with him. You know, this is the Jew and the Gentile thing here. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. As many came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, how did they know that? Now, I like to point this out when I teach this Bible study a lot of times. You think about it, folks. There's Cornelius and all of his family sitting there. Peter's preaching. Now, think about this. If Cornelius would have raised his hand, and Peter said, yes, Cornelius, I just accepted the Lord as my personal Savior, and I got the Holy Ghost. He wouldn't even have to say, I accepted, but he'd just say, God just filled me with the Holy Ghost. Well, why? How do you know? Because I believe. What do you think Cornelius would have said? Oh, no, you don't. Well, why? Why not? Well, because that's when we got the Holy Ghost, we spoke with tongues. Now, we know Peter. He's aggressive like that, right? He runs his mouth. No, they were astonished because they heard them speak with tongues. For they heard them, verse 48, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these which should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we, just like we did? So that's how they knew. Now, see, I believe that if it was like it is today, when you accept the Lord as your personal Savior, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter would have left there and went. Told them he went back to the board back in Jerusalem, and he told them all about this. He's explaining himself. He's explaining why he went down to a Gentile's house. And if he would not have heard them speak in tongues, they'd say, well, we preached it to them, but they didn't get the Holy Ghost. You see, Satan knows that if he can put doubt in your heart about what happens when a person receives the Holy Ghost, namely speak it in tongues, then he knows you will never receive it because you'll fear about it, or you'll think it's strange. So my goal is to help show you today that Satan's a liar. Amen? My goal today is to help you see for yourself that the scripture plainly speaks about the miracle of speaking in other tongues that happens when a believer is filled with the Holy Ghost. And it's not just those goosebumps that you feel, that good feeling. It's not just the hair standing up on the back of your neck. It's not the good feeling that you get when you worship God, or the way we've been worshiping God around here lately. But a believer, folks, knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have been filled with the Holy Ghost when they have spoken in other tongues, just like they did in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. And the great thing about it is you can take them to the scripture. Amen? I quit years ago arguing with these people that, you know, that are Trinitarian, and they want to just argue and argue. I said, finally, I just got to this point. I'm like, hey, show me. Show me in scripture where anybody was ever baptized in the titles. I can show you where they were baptized in Jesus' name. I can show you where they spoke in tongues. You show me, and it's end of discussion. God never intended for a believer to wonder whether or not they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, I think a lot of times when, and this is one thing that's so frustrating to about the people going to the other churches and stuff like that, the enemy lies to them so much that after a while they finally say, oh, well, and they give up. Christianity is not for me. You know, when you hear the story of Jeff Arnold, he went from church to church, and, you know, he would go there, and he'd go up to repent, accept the Lord as his personal Savior, and for a few months he's living on repentance, and he's doing good, and then falls back into sin. And then, wherever it is, he goes back to church again, and after several times, his wife says, you want to go to a church? I'll take you to a church. And he walked into an apostolic church, and he said, what is this? She said, it's the Holy Ghost. See, she went to church there as a child from the bus ministry and remembered it, never forgot it. But see, folks, when people keep going back to the altar and living on repentance, and then they go back to the altar again and live on repentance, after a while they get frustrated and say, I can't do this. And the devil has been lying to them and saying, you got the Holy Spirit. You accepted the Lord as your personal Savior. Well, they don't have that Spirit in them that gives them the strength they need to live for God. So God never intended for a believer to wonder whether or not they are filled with his Spirit. And here's why. There is confidence that comes when you know that you have been filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a confidence that comes in your life. But better yet, folks, there is a level of faith that comes when you know yourself the miracle that God has done in you when you speak in tongues for yourself. See, we've been talking about outside-the-box church, but this church is not interested, folks, in being like all the other churches. We're not, amen? God bless them, and we love them, and praise God for them, but we're looking for something more spectacular, amen? We're looking for something that is miraculous. We're looking for something that is biblical. We're looking for something that is heaven-sent. We're looking for something that is real. Hallelujah. We're not interested in boxed religion. And we're not interested in boxed salvation. This church is not a place where you're going to hear a faithless message about the miracle of speaking in other tongues. It is in the Bible, and we want to talk about it. Amen? It is a promise that is for us today, and we want it. Amen? It is his will for us to receive. Amen? Then we want to receive it. If it's in the Word of God, that's what we want. If it's not, keep it. Now, the box says, well, it's not for us today. The box says it's for those crazy Christians. The box says it is not politically correct. The box says, well, it's not necessary. We're not staying in the box. Amen? We're not concerned about the views or the opinions of box thinkers. Amen? We are looking for the realm of the miraculous when it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. If you knew, folks, if you knew you had cancer here today, and I could show you in His Word that it is His desire to heal you, you would come to me and say, pray for me that God will heal me. Right? Amen. If I told you that God wanted to heal your marriage or help you with your kids or help you find employment, and you would ask me to pray for you, that a miracle would happen, amen, in your marriage, in your family, in your job, whatever, you'd ask me to pray. But why is it when we show people from the Word that speaking in other tongues is proof that one has received the Holy Ghost, and they immediately begin to make excuses why they don't want it? Come on. The answer lies in their level of faith. Right? If their faith is low, they will let other people's opinion keep them from receiving the miracle. If their faith is low, they will let someone who does not understand the Scriptures explain it away to them. If their faith is low, they will say it is not of God when it is clearly found in His Word. A believer has to have enough faith in his or her heart that they determine that nothing is going to stop them from receiving what God has for them. Right? Nothing's going to stop me. Faith alone does not cause you to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen? You see this, what it takes, if you want the Holy Ghost, it takes a hunger. It takes a hunger for God. It takes a hunger for whatever it is that God wants you to do. And a yielding of your will. It says, I want whatever it takes. You have to yield yourself to God. But you do not have to have enough faith that you tell the devil, or you do have to have enough faith that you tell the devil, and you tell anyone who would try to explain it away and say you don't need it, that if God wants to give it to me, I want it. I'm ready to receive it. Amen? You have to look at it that way. I know that this kind of spirit infilling is outside of the box as of much of Christianity. But you need to know that it is in the Bible. It is in the Word of God. And it may not fit what some churches preach, but that doesn't matter because it's in the Bible. It doesn't matter what they preach. If it's in the Word, we better want it. We better say, I need it. I want to do whatever it takes to get to heaven. Amen? Now, Jesus never was inside the box of the other religious people of His day. He was totally... They thought He was off the hook. So what makes us think that He would fit inside the box of religious people of this day? Amen? If He didn't do it back then, it ain't going to do it today. He said, you're going to be persecuted for who? For My name's sake. Amen? Speaking in tongues was the common sign throughout the early church that someone had received the Holy Ghost. It was out side of the box. It had never happened before. No one else was doing it. Right? Nobody else was doing it. It brought controversy. It invited criticism. It brought ridicule from the doubters. But those who wanted it received it. Amen? So it didn't matter. Or anybody else. 120 were filled on the day of Pentecost. And then later, 3,000 more received it when they lifted up their hearts to God in faith, believing for His will to be done in their lives. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 39, it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." We are that afar off, folks. It is still for us today. Even, you know, he said it was for them, but it's even for your children and to all those that are far off. That's us. It is still for you today. Amen. And we have to believe that. And we need to know how to explain this to people and show them, hey, this is for you. This is for your family. This is for your friends, your neighbors. It is for you. Amen. And we need to be able to show them, hey, this is God. This is what God chose. Why? That's what he chose. You can ask him when you get to heaven. Amen? Amen. Let's stand here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul said, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than ye all. Listen, when you speak in tongues, that's your rest. That's your daily rest. When your mind constantly goes. Even when you sleep, a lot of times our mind is constantly at work. We're dreaming and all these kind of things. But when you allow the Lord to come in and speak through you in that other language, that is him taking over, you don't understand that, and it gives your mind that rest every day, your Sabbath every day. Amen? So it is important. Amen? Train, you know, as you work it. I tell folks when they first receive the Holy Ghost, you need to do this every day. Just like that child that is born who doesn't know how to talk. But every day as they keep trying, they get better and better. And we need to have that in our life and allow it to flow through us anytime, anywhere. Amen? I mean, we don't want to stand out in downtown Cleveland and start speaking in tongues. That's not helping anybody. But when you need to get away and get that rest with you and Jesus, you need to allow that to happen. Or in your car, traveling down the road, just let God take over. Amen? Lord, we love you and we appreciate you. And we just ask, God, that you just touch us here today. God, help us to understand the word, Lord God, that it apply it to our life and your will be done in our life. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.